This is CliffCentral.com.
Most unattractive man you ever see with musical instruments, but that is your new song for the morning, Anthea.
What a win! Listen, it's going to be hard to follow all this MotoGP and Moto3 excitement, I must say.
Did I come across as really sincere, though? Because people give me so much flack about not talking about motorsports and all this other kind of stuff.
Well, for the people who can't see you, you looked like a six-year-old on Christmas Day, and your dad just said, look, all of these presents are for you.
I was genuinely enthused by
that. Yes, you were.
I'm going to watch that in the future.
Okay. Then I've never seen you that excited.
Okay. All right. Well, Anthea, just going through the prep that you sent through for the show, which we do appreciate. I've got to say, it sounds a bit bipolar. You said it was a positive week, but there was so much negative on the sheet.
Okay, that's fair enough. So the markets were positive. So all the indices closed higher. Resources was up 1%. Financials 1.5%. Admittedly, the companies making the headlines were all negative news, though. That's the problem. So the market was good, but a lot of downside. I mean, just it was good, generally speaking. Okay.
Yeah, because you said that Richemont was going to start announcing some things. So that was the exciting thing that we had to look forward to for this week.
Oh, that was my worst. So on Friday, I did exactly what I always say not to do, and I had a knee-jerk reaction. So before the market opened on Friday, Richemont reported results. Shocking. Well, I mean, okay, so they sell...
Just give us a reminder of what that's made up of again.
So Richemont is your luxury goods company, Montblanc, right. IWG, they own Net-a-Porter, Yuke's, they own jewelry and jewelry and watches. That's their thing, luxury goods, yeah. They put out their full-year results on Friday before the market opened. Profit pretty much in line, €2 billion they made in profit. But what really scared me was that their April sales number was down 15%. And going forward, they're looking for fairly difficult outlook, you know. So their guidance going for the next year is pretty bad as well. I think things will continue to be bad until September. So, you know, we own the share. And then when a company does that, you kind of, it's a bit of a shock, let's be honest.
Well, I heard Edward Zuma was thrilled by this.
Who?
Edward Zuma, he was thrilled by this downturn in the stocks.
One of the many sons.
Oh.
Because you know him and Johann Rupert aren't exactly friends.
Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, thanks. Oh, I see. Oh, maybe he was selling down then. That's what it was. He actually owned and then he sold. So the market opened 5%. Oh, Richemont opened 5% lower at market open. So, of course, I sold my shares. But then guess what happened? The share bounced. So it looked like I'd made a mistake.
Oh.
I know.
Well, big of you to accept that, Anthea.
But no, I was vindicated because the share closed almost 5.5% down. So it closed at about 92 rand something from 97.75 it was before that.
Okay.
Yeah. So just, I think the thing with Richemont, so we owned it, we got out of it. I think there'll be another chance to get into it at a lower price in the next 6 months. So we need to watch it. I mean, I'm a bit annoyed that I had to sell out on Friday. But
just,
these things happen.
Very basic question along with this. I've always wondered it, but now's the time to ask it. What's the minimum time you'd like to hold a share?
No, there is no minimum. You can trade intraday. Yeah, so you can buy in the morning and sell in the afternoon and make a profit.
Okay. Mm.
And a lot of people do that, actually. So a lot of traders, intraday traders, we call them scalpers, actually.
I mean, not a good connotation.
Yeah, I was about to say, they were obviously going to get a dubious nickname.
Yeah. So these are exactly the guys who would be buying kind of in the morning when the share's down 5% and then selling in the afternoon, hoping that it bounces higher by afternoon, scalpers or intraday traders. And then Tonga put out a trading statement on Friday as well. They report results next week, Monday, the 30th. Headline earnings expected to be down 18% year on year. The big thing here is sugar profits was down 85% year on year. I was expecting it to be down about 40%, so that's huge. But you know that Tonga is the sugar used to be a sugar business, but we don't hold it for the sugar play. So sugar now makes up about 7% of operating profit in Tongaat, and what we're holding it for is the property they own.
Right.
And we're waiting for them to sell this big, fantastic parcel of land called Umhlanga Ridge.
As in sugarcane fields?
Yes, which they're now turning into kind of developable land, so you can now go and build on it. So they've tilled the soil, they've taken the crops off, and made it buildable, I guess is the word.
Yeah, because that whole north coast is it's quite something. There's ranging sugar fields. It's beautiful, and they all have great elevation as well. And if, you know, sugar kills you as well, Anthea, and we all know this, so maybe property is the more viable solution. Less people die, better profit on the share.
There we go. So operating profit from the land did increase by 35% year on year. They did sell 121 hectares of developable land, which equates to about just over 9 million rand per hectare, which is slightly below the 12.6 I was looking for. It's not the big parcel of land we want, so we'll see what they say next week, Monday. I think they still haven't found a buyer for the real kind of prime property. So that's what it is. You know, we're just kind of holding on for them to do that. Okay. It's a really difficult share. It's one that I bought at, I think, 129 Rand. It went all the way down to 85. It's now 112. So I'm kind of still holding on to it.
All right.
See what happens there. And then here's a story that's just boring. I mean, MTN. I'm so sick of this.
Okay.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, Mub sold her MTN shares ages ago. She's out of this whole mix.
Yeah, so it looks like Nigeria's edging closer to making a decision about the fine. They've now said to the South African management team, we can't talk to you anymore. We're now investigating and possibly we'll make a decision. You know, it started off at $5.2 billion. Dollars. Then they said it might be $3.9 billion. MTN said we'll pay $1.5 billion in staggered payments and we'll buy some of your sovereign debt. I'm over it. The share's down 30% since this whole fine drama.
It sounds like a horrible breakup because there's been nothing solid. It doesn't seem like it's ever going to become an amicable decision at the end of it.
Yeah. And it just goes on. You can have the CDs, but I want the couch. Rubbish.
So what do you reckon is going to be the bottom line here? I mean, are we even so far away from that it's even difficult to speculate on it?
I think Nigeria will want as close to their $4 billion as possible. MTN, obviously, if it is $4 billion, MTN will fight it. So it will continue on. It will become a big court case. MTN will end up spending more money in legal fees. So the only people who win, really, are the lawyers.
Which is often the case with all these disputes.
Exactly. Is it? That is true.
And, okay, so if it does get to the $4 billion mark or anything like that, what do you reckon share-wise is going to happen? Or has the share price managed to somehow stay quite stable throughout this?
So since the fine was announced, the share's down 30%, and it's been months since, 6 months almost now, right? Yeah. And the share's kind of been up and down a little bit, not much. If the fine is $4 billion, I think the share will come off even further. If it's 1.5, I think the share might bounce a little bit. But, like, it's so binary. Why take the chance? And you just don't know what's going to happen. There's no indication of which way it's going to go. Mm. So I am keen to stay away from this stall much longer.
Yeah, that would make sense. Now, I mentioned at the start of the show something that really annoyed me over the weekend was this whole Uber thing and these meter taxi people. You've got something here about transaction capital?
Yeah. So transaction capital is an asset-backed lender. So in other words, they will lend money if you have an asset you need to finance, so a house or a car or that sort of thing.
Okay.
So not your credit cards, not your personal loans, that sort of thing, you know, not mm-hmm. shopping loans, none of that nonsense. They also own a business called SA Taxi. And what SA Taxi have recently done is launched Zebra Cabs. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have seen them, but are they just not fancy meter taxis?
Well, actually, they've now got an app. So, and actually, it looks exactly like the Uber app.
Right.
The difference, though, with Zebra Cabs is that they're about 4 rand per kilometer more than Uber. So the average Uber is 6 rand a kilometer, and their Zebra Cabs is 10 rand. But management have said they're not competing against Uber.
I was about to say, I've really lost on zebra. 10 rand as opposed to 6.
Well, they don't do this thing with the multiplier effect, which Uber does. So okay. In very busy periods, Uber can be 1.5 or 2 times more expensive, and Zebra doesn't do that.
Right.
So they could potentially be cheaper at some stages. But they're not targeting you and me. They're more targeting kind of the airport, the book taxi, the corporate taxis, that sort of thing. Yeah.
So people who don't actually have their own money being thrown on the table here. It's like, oh, we'll put it to expenses. Let's get a Zebra.
There we go. There's always that corporate thing, right? The interesting thing about this is that Zebra cab drivers actually qualify to be UberX drivers because they have the same criteria for their cars. So they could switch over either way. And what SA Taxi or Transaction Capital are trying to do is to consolidate the taxi industry. So they've identified, I think it was 3,000 of these metered taxis. You know, think Mercedes E-Class, old kind of Mercedes sitting at the airport waiting, that sort of thing.
Old smelly leather.
Yeah.
With like broken dreams in the back seat, yeah.
And what they're going to do is approach these guys and say, well, we will finance a new Toyota Corolla, which qualifies as a Zebra cab and an Uber X.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And then they'll also install telematics, which is the point of sale, point of sale billing system, basically. Yeah. They'll provide a call center for pre-bookings, and of course, then they'll give them the app.
See, that's better. Again, it's like, find a better way, don't resort to violence and just being an idiot. This is much better.
Yeah.
This is actually kind of encouraging. We did have a couple of messages. I just want to get to them now, rather than let them go later. I can just wrestle this microphone like an anaconda.
Wow.
Like J-Lo in that really bad movie. Re-Uber, Andrew says, it's ridiculous in South Africa, businesses are lazy to adapt, and progress is slow. You don't see Wimpy or Steers burning down the Burger King stores. They don't adapt their business to attract clients, and in Durban, the rapid bus transit system is frozen mid-construction because taxi drivers refuse to accept business innovation. And they won't adapt their ancient business to improve things. That's even more dickhead, because that rapid bus transit system, that's very much getting the masses to work. And this country is not going to go anywhere unless everyone is working. Avishkar says that people don't like meter taxis because they're ridiculous fares.
Yeah.
Good point. What's even more ridiculous is the cost of the taxi license for the authorities. From the authorities. That could be a root cause to all of this. So there's a couple of things at play here. The rapid bus transit system as well, mid-construction. I had no idea about that. That's terrible.
Mm, it's very disappointing, eh?
Yeah, Anthea. What's happening? Is there a petrol price coming up?
Potentially, yes.
Because it's been a while since we've been bent over the good old barrel around that one.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because this is exactly what we need, is, to be paying more money for something else.
Yeah, just adds. So it looks like petrol's going to go up 12%, but it could have been 42%. Had it not been for the stronger rand in April, so I'm just saying.
42%.
42 cents, sorry. Did I say percent?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah,
cents.
Yes, we're about to lose our breakfast.
It's almost.
No wonder you looked at me. And so that was kind of a good thing, but just be aware that in May, the rand has already declined by 10%. So I think the next one will be another big increase. And, oil's now trading closer to $50 a barrel. So there you go.
This is like the Oscars, Anthony. You're actually being tuned out today.
I was wondering
this hasn't happened before. What's this? Thanks, Anthony. I'll catch you back tomorrow.
Great. Thanks very much, guys.
This is such a good song.
I do like it in a different language.
Oh, there's a bit of English in here as well.
Right. Treat her right.
Treat her right.
This is CliffCentral.com.